Beyond the Spiral, Episode 1, Intro of the Legend. I am your host, Ryan, aka The Tech Boy, on Twitch.tv, where this is being streamed live. And on Twitter, I am Binary Conjure. Let's begin the show. All right, so this is the first episode of hopefully a continuous podcast that will go on for a while. Now, this particular podcast is going to be about Wizard 101, the MMORPG video game that, well, I play and I enjoy, and I have quite a few opinions and things to say, and I feel like it would be a really awesome thing to go and have a podcast about and for you guys to listen to my opinions. Now, more so, this is just not just about me talking about the game. Of course, that's the basics of it, but there's a couple other streams attached to it, which I hope would increase its additional, you know, give it additional value than just anyone talking about the game in just the form of a podcast. So this podcast is in association, like, or I guess really grouped together with a group called Dual Circle. So if you're unaware what Dual Circle is and what we do, we're an unofficial fan site at the moment who hosts tournaments for the game. We host player versus player tournaments with 32 at minimum, up to 64 players. They battle against each other out with using our custom rules. So we have a baseline rules. So we ban shadow spells, for example. We ban like Fire Beetle. We limit certain spells. We make things more even in the playing field. We make sure that everyone who plays the game in our tournament will have a more fair chance to actually win and compete against each other. And it would be up to whoever has the better skills at building the deck and deploying that in action. We've done this since 2015 with the Christmas Clash tournament, and in 2016 we made the group of Dual Circle as our official name, and then we also did a tournament in 2016 and 2017 as Christmas Clash. So that's what we do. We basically make tournaments. We're an official site. That's our shebang. That's our thing. And part of that kind of goes down to the thought and. Well, more so, like, it comes down to us being passionate players and people who really like the mechanics of the game, but we feel that at the current moment, the game isn't fully capable of proper competitive PvP. It just doesn't work well. The balance isn't right. The current meta leaves a lot to the desire. So in our response as a community, you know, and our, you know, the members of Dual Circle, we came together and we made a tournament and to express how we feel that PvP could be much more exciting when it is set in a better way. So now how that comes around, though, here in the podcast form. Podcast form is an extension of what Dual Circle does, just with PvP tournaments. We this year is going to be a discussion, and it's really a podcast just to talk about Wizard 101. And, you know, it's called Beyond the Spiral with the awesome art that you probably see on the screen right now if you're watching the video version, or if you're on the podcast. Or you're watching it through the audio podcast, you can see the cover art. Speaking about the cover art, though, that is from Tavia over on Twitter. We have a link to her and everyone else in the everything relevant in the show notes over at dualcircle.com/podcast. Look for episode 1, Intro the Legend. Anyway, with the awesome art and credit to our amazing artists out of the way, we will continue onwards. So the things that we're going to be talking about is like the game meta, so like things about PvP, So various things that we'll be talking about in this podcast particularly is, of course, the game meta and this thing. This involves like how PvP works, how different schools are in competing against each other, the spells, utilities, the power, the practicability, the inherent advantages, disadvantages, the caveats, talking about the systems and that, or even in the player versus environment stuff where like farming or questing, we'll be talking about that and how the game balancing has been quite weird in recent years with difficulty not scaling to what it should be or gear being kind of weird or even some of the stat issues that we have currently in the game. For example, critical block is one of the weirdest parts of the game right now. It's not really a practical stat to go for. That's system of blocking is kind of weird, but of course that will be discussed later on. This will also be talking about story, updates to the game, and also, of course, just the community overall on how we think about the game and what's going on there. So, of course, I'm the host. I'm the primary host of the show, though we will have co-hosts and guests among the show. Now, of course, you're wondering who in the world is on that awesome cover art. I'm here to go and give you that answer. So from left to right, if you're looking at the already, I'm either on our website, dosocircle.com/podcast, or on the video version, whether it's on YouTube or anywhere else, or even on the stream in the highlights on there, or if you're watching live, or on the on your podcatcher and seeing the cover art yourself. From left to right, we have Crusader Kyle, Shadow Fishy, aka Dustin. And then to the right of Dustin, we have Sephiroth TM. Then we have me, Ryan. To the right of me, we have Vanessa Mifdus. And to the right, we have Manabase, aka Sloth Plays Necro. He changed his name recently. And last of all, we have Michael Firehammer. All of them are organizers of the pod, well, of Dual Circle. So we go and work with a lot of management in our organization. We make sure that things work properly, and we organize a lot of our staff, because we have a lot of people that we have among our team to help out with tournaments, referees mainly, and some other also people that help with some of the other activities that we're doing and planning to do. Other than the organizers, we will likely have some referees on once in a while, depending on the topic that we have for the episode, at least the primary topic. And sometimes even we'll have people from the community. Again, it all depends on the episode and the opportunity, but we will have a variety of people on, at minimum, at least me or one of the organizers. And at the best, organizers or some other guests in the future, it will be really awesome. With all that information about the host out of the way, we shall continue four words. And what that means, particularly for you guys, is yet another tournament. And what I mean by another tournament, this tournament will be happening in this year's FanSight Festival, which is April 15th, 2018. So, the thing about FanSight Festival is basically it's a collection of FanSights that go ahead and do their own special event, generally about an hour or so. They happen after each other. So it'd be like one FanSight, another FanSight, another FanSight, each separate about an hour. And the event itself is run by Sheldon. Now, Sheldon is the official FanSight owner of Adventures of the Spiral, which, well, they go and cover Wizard 101 and Pirate 101. Awesome site. You should probably check it out. Show notes will have the link at dualcircle.com/podcast. Anyway, we've been invited for our second year in a row, which is pretty awesome, as in the previous year, we have done an event called the Spring Fling, basically 8 to 16 man tournament, similar to Christmas Clash that we mentioned earlier, where you come into the tournament where you play with our custom baseline rules alongside with a thing called game modes. And those are a pretty interesting thing, as essentially we spice up every round with a very special set of additional rules that can either unban things or ban new things or change up how your strategy goes. It's basically like, think of it as like a, as with normal Wizard 101 tournaments, where there are certain ones such as classic PvP, where it's bans, amulets, pets, and TC. Quite interesting stuff, though. We have a lot of variety in our game modes. If you're curious on that, we'll have a link to what our game modes were in the past for the previous Christmas Clash tournaments and whatnot in the show notes, of course, at dualcircle.com/podcast. And that tournament went with, I guess, a decent amount of success. Though the issue with that is, if you want to come back into the past, you can't actually see it due to the fact that the recording was corrupted. So that's just one of the rather unfortunate things that occurred with that. But alas, you can always just watch the regular Christmas Clash tournaments for 2015, 2016, and 2017. Again, links to all these things will be in the show notes. Anyhow, for this year, though, we're doing something different than what we were doing previously before. We are doing a special tournament that is called the Staff Showdown. Now, just by the name itself, it is not a public tournament for anyone to enter, like our previous tournaments have been in the past, whether it's Clash or the Spring Fling of last year. This tournament is essentially a tournament where you go ahead, pop in, and watch the tournament from Twitch. Just like with any other tournament, but instead of it being you, or anyone else really entering into it, it's our staff members. And that is just a interesting spin on this, because we've been requested many times to have it where we bring our own staff against our own rules, this time without game modes. Again, link in the description about what that is, and we'll probably have an episode in the future describing it more in detail. just with our basic rules, against each other, eight people, eight staff members, some organizers, some referees, and organizers help work with the inner workings of our tournament structure and ensure that everything just works well. And referees ensure that, well, they enforce the rules and they make sure that internally, well, in the actual matches, things go well and help with player communication. But in terms of actual tournament, though, we want to go and say, okay, so you know the rules quite well. Let's see how well you do against each other in a tournament of our own style. So that's what we went for, and here we are today. If you're curious, though, on who the roster is, because we haven't announced this officially, because we've only announced that we're doing an event at Fansite Festival, fansitefestival.com, at 11 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time on April 15th, 2018. A tournament of eight of our own staff, but we haven't actually mentioned who's in. So the roster is Mana Base, aka Sloth Plays Necro on Twitter. He changes that recently. Michael Firehammer, Vanessa Miftus. Those three are our organizers of the tournament. Well, more so, they're the organizers that are entering into the tournament. And then the rest are referees. We have Pebbles Beach Wizard. We have Desi. We have Michael Wild Flame. We have Luke Death. And as a special guest joining us from Duels 101 is Eric Stormbringer. So quite an interesting roster of people. Mostly all our staff and then a guest from Duels 101, another fan site. And it's just going to be an amazing tournament. If you want to actually see it live, you can watch it live on twitch.tv/thetechboy. Again, April 15th, 2018, starting at 11 a.m. PDT. And then it should end about like 12 p.m. PDT, maybe a little longer than that. But mostly it's going to be at about an hour. So great tournament with commentary and all. You don't want to miss it. Make sure you're there. And as a bonus, I'll also be streaming all the other events as well on twitch.tv/thetechboy, starting at 9 a.m. PDT, all the way up to our event and more. Again, details will be on the show notes. DuelCircle.com/podcast. Anyhow, the Fansite Festival is going to be a great event. Make sure you're there. But of course, we have to move on into other topics and whatnot. So for episode one, we'll also be talking about some of the most recent things that have happened to Wizard 101 and some of my thoughts, though, on the most interesting things. So as you may or may not be aware, or at least in terms of the recording of this podcast on March 31st, 2018, the Spring Test Realm for 2018 has been released, and well, we have a lot of awesome, truly awesome things that have come from King's Isle. They decided to go ahead and update quite a few things and introduce new features. In my eyes, the most interesting feature they've added to Test Realm, and will be the first one we're going to mention, is the Pet Making Kiosk. Now, the Pet Making Kiosk is a very interesting thing that you can really use. Now, what it is, first of all, it's in the Pet Pavilion in Wizard City, next to the Hatchery. Literally next to the Hatchery. They just move it from where it was in, near the dance game, over to the actual Hatchery to the right of it from the entrance when you go in. And this new mechanic gives you basically a marketplace for pets. You literally can browse through a list of all the pets that have been submitted to the Pet Hatchery, find a pet you want, hatch with it easily. This is a big deal. Truly a big deal. Because if you're unaware, in the game, pets actually hatching with a quote-unquote good pet. And a good pet is normally like a mega pet that has five talents that you want. Ideally, five really good talents go well each other for a specific type of build that you may want to go for. For example, one of the most popular builds on a pet is something called triple-double, which is triple damage, so three damages, and double resistance. So it would be three damage, so like 21 damage, and 15% resistance. And there are seven versions for all seven schools. And it's one of the most sought out pets out there. But part of the issue with pets is you need to go ahead and find someone with an existing pet, ideally, because making pets by trash are kind of a not the most exciting thing to do. Well, let's just say that. This is not the most exciting thing to do. So generally with pet making, what most people do is they find someone with the pet that they want. They ask them for a hatch, and sometimes they get it, sometimes they don't. But sometimes it comes with an in-game marketplace sort of price, and that can be quite weird. Like, so there's an entire process to go and get a pet. And that's not particularly easy for everyone. But this here is literally just a list of pets that you can go and find and hatch with. And it's really awesome because there's quite a few advantages to the system. A, you can find pets easily. Well, quote unquote easily. We'll get more onto that later. The owner of the pet themselves can submit up to 5 pets. And the thing about submitting pets is the pets aren't removed from your inventory. They're just kind of like shadow cloned in one way or another into the pet making kiosk. So that means that like the owner can still use their pet. They can still hatch the pet with the normal way. And it's literally just up there on the market. And also, if when someone hatches with you, the coolest part about this, you will not be charged like you normally are when you try to hatch with someone. When you try to help out someone, it's like, hey, okay, I want to go and give you a hatch with my pet. You do not go ahead and get charged like the 40-50k gold, which 40-50k gold can be quite a bit because especially when you hatch out a lot over time, your gold drains really quickly. And considering that the max gold cap at 121 to 125 is only 500,000 gold, that goes by really fast, especially from a avid pet maker just, well, like myself, particularly. Now, other than just simply not charging the owner of the pet anything, the owner actually gets a reward. For every hatch that they get a reagent called hatching peppers. And these reagents can be used to go and craft quite a few things, but the most important things are elixirs. Now, you can craft the Holy Grail, the Prue's Potion number 9, which resets your pet hatching timer so you can hatch another pet. Reset your timer from 12 or 24 hours, or whatever it may be. Especially good for people that want to work on pet projects and really go through generations really quickly. A hatch all eggs elixir that hatches your eggs. So especially for those pets like the red ghost that have like what a 21 hour timer, and those are rough, especially when you want to go and train that pet and make it good and progress through generations and stuff. So that's really an awesome feature. And last of all, we have a new elixir that's not even in the crown shop, exclusive to as a crafting recipe from hatching peppers. This elixir makes it aware your next hatch will be free. So truly 3 awesome elixirs you get. So there's incentive to just literally go ahead, put your pets on the market, and give people hatches. Now, there are some other limitations as well. Now, you can only put up 5 pets per wizard, so only 5 pets per wizard available on the market at one time. And there is like 1 hour cooldown on when someone hatches. So let's just say someone hatches with your pet. Well, no one else can hatch with your pet until an hour has passed. And then that can happen again and again and again. Though when your pet has reached 10 pet hatches, it will be automatically removed from the pet making marketplace thing. Though the good news is you can always put your pet back on there, though. There's no limitation for it being on or off. It just removes it automatically. Now, there's also another mechanic where it does get removed automatically. So let's just say you have your pet there and on the market and it doesn't get hatched 10 times. Then simply put, the pet's going to be removed after a week. So either your pet gets hatched 10 times in less than a week, gets removed, or your pet hasn't been hatched 10 times. But you can always put your pet back on in the first place. So that is really awesome. Currently, there's a weird feature that they've implemented, though, that is different from the normal pet making system. So with the normal pet making system, if you are aware or perhaps unaware, when you hatch a pet with someone else, whether yourself, doing self-hatching, or another person, you can get either your pet or another pet's egg. Generally speaking, you can get pretty much any egg out there, even ones that are crown pet eggs or boss eggs or whatever. You can get pretty much anything out there. Simply put, just happens. Which is a way that some people use to go and get like new bundle pets, crown pets or whatever, without even spending the crowns, which has been a staple for years and something that Kingsale really hasn't particularly put on their mind as something that they worry about. Though there's an interesting change that they've done recently in this new system. Now, this doesn't apply for the old pet making system with the hatchery and stuff, so luckily, but on the new system, they have made it where if you were to hatch with a crown pet, originally you couldn't even put crown pets on the marketplace. Now you can. If you were to hatch with a crown pet, you have to pay your normal 40 to 50K gold. And this time, you have to pay about 750 crowns in order to hatch with that pet. Which is honestly pretty ridiculous, because that is a completely different feature in comparison to the original system, where it doesn't matter what pet you hatch with, you just pay the normal cost of gold. Luckily, though, they have released a statement on March 29th, 2018, where on Facebook they have mentioned that if you have discovered the pet through the pet tome, which basically the pet tome is another feature where it's, think of it like a pet Pokedex, honestly, kind of similar to like Monstrology, but in this case, you just have to go ahead and have the pet in your inventory or in your bank or attic or just somewhere in the vicinity of ownership. You just own a pet and it's added to a log, as to your Pokedex, per se. In like the most common comparison you can think of it as. If you have a pet, quote unquote, discovered through the Pokedex, I mean, pet tome, you will not have to pay the crown cost. Instead of being 40, 50k gold plus 750 crowns, it will be just free. So I guess that's a slightly better way to not deal with always having a crown cost just because you want to now implement a system with that, which is kind of weird. But on the bright side, at least they do offer a way to go around their new feature and not cost players a lot of crowns, especially people who just want to get a new pet and conveniently it's on a crown pet, because most good pets these days, with most good mega pets and even with good talents and stuff, talents and stats, are on crown pets. That's what a lot of people do, because crown pets normally are some of the most attractive pets to go for and put your talents and stats on. So bright side is you can go ahead and pay for the crowns for that in the pet making tome. Well, kiosk, and hope you get the pet and then get it discovered and it will be free forever, or simply look for a person with that pet normally in the hatchery, hatch with them in the hatchery, and then you will not have that issue in the future in the pet making kiosk. Decent compromise, though. Personally, I would prefer if it went with the same logic as with normal pet making in the hatchery, but oh well, this is what we got to deal with. So there's a couple other interesting critiques that I have with the system. The system's great, though. Keep that in mind. There's a couple weird issues I have with the system, though, overall, in Test Realm, as it stands right now, on March 31st, 2018. The system has a really weird UI, user interface design. The issue, though, comes down to simply things are organized oddly. Now, what I mean by this is, in order to find a pet you want to hatch with, you have to go ahead and go and browse the pets, but you browse the pets by either categorizing by the school of the pet, because every pet has a school for them. All can be any 7 schools. And then there is the actual pet name alphabetically per school. Now, this is kind of weird, because generally speaking, most people don't put pets on their logical version of school. Like, you don't put like a deaf pet on a deaf culture all the time. Sometimes like people put like a deaf pet on like on a dragon pet, which is, well, I think like a balance pet or something. So there's not really a correlation to that. It just kind of goes like you have to browse through the entire thing. And also, like, when you go and double click on a pet, if let's just say two people put up a dragon pet, that's what I think balance, you have to double click on that dragon pet, and then you have to go and browse through all of the dragon pets out there in a screen that looks similar to when you actually hatch a pet, but where you see all the entire talent pool for the regular talents or derby talents, and then you see the stats of, compared to your pet, and then you can change your pet as well. So you can look at your pet, and then you can, but of course, in this menu, this is different because you browse all the pets of the particular type of pet that you selected. Which is weird because you can't actually search for, let's just say, a triple double pet, which would be like, let's just say I want to find a Myth triple double pet, which has Myth Dealer, Pain Giver, and Myth Giver, along with Spell Proof and Spell Define. I can't simply search all those talents in a row. I can't search the talents. I can't search things even just by like saying like the player abbreviation that we made or player overall classification. I just have to go ahead and literally browse through the pets. Now, there's a couple other ways to browse through the pets. You can go and click on a button that basically just browse through all the pets in the entire marketplace. So you just literally just go and browse through every single pet out there and look for the one that you likely want to hatch with. Or you can search them by pedigree and just browse and browse and browse and browse. But there's no simple search options. Like, what I would like King's Isle to do for the pet making kiosk, in order to basically turn it into the ultimate thing you've ever seen in your life, the most amazing thing ever existing for pet making stuff, is to give us advanced search options. Kind of similar how Twitter has their advanced search options. What that entails, particularly, is I would love if I can go and search by talent. So let's just say I can search to see if it has a myth dealer, spell proofs, or even multiples of these. So I would search for, let's just say, a pet at least with spell proof and spell define. And then I can see all the pets that have spell proof define, and then I have a list of, and I can look through and browse and stuff. That'd be awesome. Or I can just search for an entire 5 talent pet. Or I can search by the pet level or an age. So things like adult, ancient, epic, and mega. And mega would be mega/epic because a pet doesn't actually get a talent at Ultra. It just gets a jewel, and then you can put certain jewels on the pet at Ultra. But that would be kind of arbitrary if they had Mega than Ultra pet in categorization. And of course, I want to be able to search by stats because, simply put, stats are also one of the most important things about a pet because that's how your talents will determine their value. So, like, in order for a dealer to become 10 dealer, you have to be a certain type of stats in order to get that. And for if you're curious about like all the formulas and stuff, Wizard 1 Essential has all the formulas for like dealer and giver, spell proof and spell design, school words and stuff. But if let's just say you just want to go and like plug in your pet stats numbers right away and just see what your value is, you can go ahead and go on to pet calculator that I made. Links to that will be in the show notes at dualcircle.com/podcast, or otherwise known as the actual link to the spreadsheet calculator will be bit.ly/petcalc. PETCALC. Anyhow, I would love if I could go and search by stats, particularly in the regard of either exact stats in either strength, intellect, agility, will, or power. So I can search to say, okay, I want a pet that at least that only has 250 strength. And then I can do that with any other category, or I can do a greater than or equals to sort of thing. So equal to, greater than, less than, and then greater than and less than equal to's. That would be amazing. Truly awesome. If you can search by all those criteria, either individually or all together. Keeping one for our previous example as like a desired pet that is out there, the triple double. Here's what I would do. So what I would do is, let's just say I'm a myth wizard that is looking for a triple double. What I would do is I would go ahead and search a mega/ultra pet with myth dealer, myth giver, pain giver, spell define, spell proof. And with the stats, I would be, let's just say 240 across the board, greater than. Like greater than or equal than 240. That's what I would search for. Or let's just say I want a 2.01. I would just do 255, 250, 260, 260, 250, and then I would find a 2.0 myth triple double. And just like if I want to go for like the dream pet, that would truly make it a lot easier though. Like if we add actual search options in that, or like there's a better UI. Even if we don't get a better UI, at least give us search options in terms of getting down the results so we can find quality pets, find pets of what we want, would be amazing, truly. Other than that, though, the system is awesome, though. It really is awesome. You can literally go and browse through all sorts of pets, hatch with them, and at the cost of only your gold, not the hatcher's gold, which is awesome. And it just brings pets over to a bigger market, honestly, because it costs gold for the hatcher, aka the wizard, to hatch with you. Like 40 to 50k gold, that's a resource. It uses a timer. With this here, it doesn't use their timer. It doesn't use at all their timer or gold. It literally is a shadow clone copy of the pet that you can hatch with from the pet making kiosk and get your own pet and simply be awesome, and people can continue hatching without the hatcher, the owner of the pet, dealing with resource management. This opens it up to more people, and it's really awesome. Of course, we'll be talking more about that probably in the future as we get the live realm and how it finalizes, but that's just how that goes in test realm. As with other things in the test realm for spring of 2018, we have new skeleton key bosses. We have one in Wizard City with Diego's brother, which is pretty cool. Robberito, there's a little fun... just mini quest and story that go with that. It's interesting just to check out and see. I guess you can say Diego's extended lore, which is awesome, knowing a bit more about the dude. It is a wooden key boss, so of course that means it will be fairly easy, like 310 health or something like that. For like level 5 difficulty, it's all right. Though it does, I believe he drops either his wand or some other wand. Pretty cool drops. Check it out in test realm, or just of course wait until it's in the live realm. And of course the other boss is a gold skeleton key boss, going to the difficulty that you wish and desire. More so, he's a golden skeleton key boss in Imperia in the Xanadu sewers. Corporal Stencion, he's a storm boss and he has quite a few interesting tricks under the belt. As rewards, there are alternative Darkmoor robes, and of course there's some awesome new Stitch gear this time, and I believe the set is called the Daredevil set. So if you're aware, there are various different Stitch gear sets that are in the game that have been named aptly by their original names. There were some missing schools in the Daredevil set, like the Life Robe and I think like Death Boots maybe. Really awesome stuff. If you want to know more information on that, Duelist 101 has an article on that. Again, we'll post that in the show notes below, dualcircle.com/podcast. If you have not heard the news, Wizard City is getting a makeover. And test realm, they're showing more and more of what's happening, some of the changes that they're doing, which is pretty awesome, honestly. So in the commons, there is a new bridge upon the pond. There's some new Gratch passes, and there are construction workers in the commons. And I believe maybe some other parts of the spiral. Well, more particularly, this Wizard City. In the commons itself, the fairgrounds have changed a bit, with the actual street and the sidewalk being changed in dimensions a bit. Pretty interesting. And Old Town has the most notable changes, as the tunnels themselves look a bit different, instead of them kind of being... like they're going up like kind of abruptly or down, and then there's a little shadow, and it looks like there's more depth in the actual tunnel, so it's quite interesting. And then also the streets and the buildings are moved differently, so like the actual sidewalk, instead of it being as big as it is in Live Realm, it's a little smaller, and then the actual road is a bit larger, and then like this is more it's more of a spacious type feeling. Really interesting stuff. If you haven't checked out the test realm already or seen videos and articles and whatnot about it, we'll link to a couple of those and some pictures and examples about what's happening in test realm with the remodeling, the redecoration, and what they're going to be doing. Pretty awesome stuff, honestly. Of course, with this test realm, I would be a fool not to mention about the new loading screen. So with Imperia, we did get a sneak peek to what King's Isle was planning to do with adding some new spice to the world. King's Isle has decided to go ahead and give us a bunch of new loading screens, just like we did with Imperia, but instead of just one world, one new world, they decided to go back into all the other worlds and give us a loading screen for every single world. Wizard City, Crocotopia, Marleybone, Mushu, Dragonspire, Grizzleheim, Wisteria, everywhere, basically everywhere, almost everywhere though, except for Wintertest. Though Wintertest is not included for whatever reason, it's just Grizzleheim's loading screen, which is pretty cool, honestly. Though we also have it where Aquila and Darkmoor, as like side worlds that don't actually have a spiral door to themselves, they actually have their own loading screen. They're really cool. More information, images, details, all that stuff will be in the show notes at dualcircle.com/podcast. They've introduced a bunch of new names. They've They've introduced a bunch of new pet names, which is honestly awesome. Just going to point that out. Like some of the names include like Smelly Meatball and a bunch of really awesome stuff. There's a bunch of check it out either in the test realm or, of course, wait until live realm or maybe look on our website. And last of all, for notable changes in the test realm, they have changed a bunch of sound effects around. Large list of them. You can obviously go and check it out in the test realm itself, or go ahead and read about it a little bit in the show notes. And here we are, the end of the podcast. Really awesome thing with how we went. We introduced the podcast. We brought you guys the insight and the relationship with Dual Circle, and also we shared a bit more details on what we're doing for Fansite Festival and our event, the Staff Showdown, April 15th, 2018, at 11 a.m. PDT for our event, the Staff Showdown. Really awesome stuff, and you know, it brings some awesome things with what we're doing in tournaments and being unique. As for the future of this podcast, if you're curious, like, okay, I got to the end of the episode, but when will I hear the next episode? I want to hear the amazing tales, the amazing opinions, the discussions about, you know, maybe PvP, the balance of PvP, the gear, issues with stats, any sort of discussion about this game. We have a lot of things planned, a lot of things in our list of topics that we'll be revealing and talking about more. But of course, you'll have to go and wait until the next episode. Yeah, next episode itself, at minimum, will be next month. So at minimum, we'll have one in March. This is the first. This will be recorded in March and will count towards March. March 31st, ironically. And then we'll also have one in April at least. So the goal is to have at least monthly. Now, if we can somehow have it where we do more than one per month, that is the dream goal. But the minimum goal is to have one per month, which is what we'll do. If we do more of them, then we'll get more content and we'll be talking about more awesome things. Now, if you want to know the actual updates, you can follow us on our website, dualcircle.com. All the information about this podcast at dualcircle.com/podcast with the show notes for episode one, Intro of the Legend. Of course, if social media is your thing, we have a Twitter, dualcircle_PVP. Now, of course, if you like my personality as the host of the podcast, Ryan, aka The Tech Boy, and of course, if you like me, the personality of the host of the podcast, at least episode one, you can go ahead and follow me on social media on Twitter, Binary Condor, or on Twitch as twitch.tv/TheTechBoy. All the links will, of course, be on our website, dualcircle.com/podcast. Thank you, everyone, for watching this podcast, and we will see you in the future for episode two.